Matthew 1, verse 24 and 25. When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. It stands a reading of God's word, and may he add his blessing to it, that we would be more than merely hearers, but we also would be doers of his word. When I think about the reformers like Martin Luther and John Calvin and John Knox and others, I sometimes wonder what they would think of our watered-down religion today. Men who gave their lives for the purity of the church, willingly laid down their lives that the word of God would be heard and received in their own language. Five great pillars of the Protestant Reformation are still under attack in the modern church today. I decided since we have five Sundays this year of Advent, since Christmas falls on the 25th, or on a Sunday, it always falls on the 25th, since it falls on Sunday, we get five Sundays of Advent. So I thought, why not consider the five pillars of the Reformation and also their relationship to the Incarnation? So the five pillars, meaning Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. I'll spare you the Latin, but those are the five pillars or the five solas of the Reformation, the five great truths on which the Reformers stood against the culture of their day. These doctrines are exactly what the modern church needs to rediscover in our day. The Reformers believe that Scripture stands alone as the church's authority, the sole authority for faith and life. Their great opponent in that time was the corrupt Roman Catholic Church. They proclaimed that the Pope was the head of the church. The problems that were created by such a man-centered religion are still a problem today. People still need to be convinced that the Bible is sufficient for faith and life. It is sufficient for all things. From our youth, however, we're taught that we are to be self-sufficient, to rely on our own strength. But the Bible is clear that we can't trust our own heart. We are prone to wander, as the old hymn says, prone to leave the God we love. It is far too easy for us to be swayed by anything new and shiny. For New Hope to thrive, for us to have a great impact in our county, we must faithfully proclaim and wholeheartedly believe these five solas: Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, and all for the glory of God alone. Today, our focus obviously is going to be on the first sola, Scripture alone. In our Advent reading, we heard Joseph submit to the revealed will of God, regardless how difficult it was. He was willing to submit when God's word was revealed. Now, I think it's very easy for us to say that we believe the Bible is authoritative, that it is God's word. And yet, at the same time, we so easily doubt that it's really that powerful. Can it really change anything? The modern church thinks that it's necessary to come up with all kinds of gimmicks and entertainment to draw people into the church because the Bible is not enough. Now, I don't think any of them would say the Bible is not enough, but that's what their actions are proving. In the 16th century, the battle for the Reformers was against those who wanted to add traditions and good works to Scripture. But in our day, the battle is also against those who would have us look like the world in order to do God's work. Do we believe that God has given us everything that we need in this book? Do we really believe that the Bible is sufficient? Or do we need to add human wisdom to it in order for us to have an impact? Look again at the scripture I just read, Matthew 1:22 and following. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Here's what the prophet had declared centuries before. This is the word of God. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And what happens? When Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Joseph believed the angel because he knew the word of God could be trusted. Young Jewish couples, especially in the Messianic ancestral line, all hoped that their unborn child would be the Messiah. If they were in that Messianic line, they held out hope that this would finally be the Messiah. Joseph knew the word of God. All he needed to do was hear it. He needed confirmation. This is the word of God. And once he received that confirmation that indeed it was an angel of the Lord sent to announce the fulfillment of Scripture, then Joseph did exactly what he was told to do. Without hesitation. The word of God was sufficient to motivate Joseph to obedience. What do we need to motivate us to be obedient? Well, what we need hasn't changed. The problem is what we think we need. We've been taught that we need to turn the worship service into a show. In fact, I think you'd probably be surprised how often we are influenced by that, even though we are opposed to it. For example, many of you refer to this platform up here as a stage. It's not a stage. This is not a theater. This is not an auditorium where you come to be entertained. Stages are in theaters and auditorium where you come to see a performance. This is not a stage. This is not a theater. This is a sanctuary, a holy place set apart for the worship of the Almighty God. This is a chancel. This is a chancel, not a stage. I know, you think, it's just semantics, Pastor, come on. Words matter. Words are important to us. You know, another example. In Reformed churches, we don't have an altar. I know that sounds really strange. I've heard people here in our church refer to that table as an altar. But Christ is not sacrificed every week on that. Thing that we do. And that was the whole point of going into that soapbox on the chancel. The word of God is central in everything. Joseph knew what God had promised through the prophets. And so when he heard the word of God, he obeyed. God's word was sufficient. It didn't matter what his neighbors and family and culture would think of this reunion with a woman that was pregnant before they were married. It didn't matter to Joseph. He had heard the word of God. It was sufficient, and he obeyed it. And so I want us to consider three ways today in which the Scripture is sufficient. And yet many times we don't recognize its sufficiency, and we neglect it. The first one is the word of God is sufficient for salvation. In fact, the Bible is the only thing that really works in evangelism. Everything else, moving testimonies, captivating music, emotional appeals, strong arguments, all are supplemental. The only way the Holy Spirit makes the lost come to life is through the hearing of God's word. I know a young man on the mission field that loves to debate theology. And there's a good time and place for that. And there's times where, when sharing the gospel, you need to be able to defend what you believe. But having strong arguments isn't going to win someone to the kingdom. The Holy Spirit makes people alive. But what does the Holy Spirit use to accomplish that? Well, in 1 Peter 1, verse 23, it says, "You've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God." The Word of God changes people's hearts when the Holy Spirit chooses to make them alive. It's by the hearing of God's Word. Sadly, many people don't believe this. They end up leaning on other things to try to woo people into the kingdom. Again, many churches have fallen into this trap of the entertainment model. Parents enjoy a show of vibrant music with a brief humorous monologue, otherwise known as a sermon, or a wonderful how-to lesson. The children are often sent off in another direction so they can be entertained as well. Gone are the days of family worship, where the Word of God is the center of our attention. Now, I fully understand that all of this is being done to attract the unconverted, and most of the time I'm sure it's with good motives, desiring that the lost be saved. I'm not questioning the motives of most. There's probably some that are doing it for wrong motives, but many are pure in their desires. They want to see the lost saved. I understand that. But professional musicians and light shows don't save anyone. The Word of God saves. Give people what they need, not what they want. Don't conform to the ways of the world. Conform to the Word of God. In Romans 10, Paul says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed?" How can they call on Christ if they don't believe in him? And the next question, how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? God's word is sufficient to save the lost. Now, I don't claim to have all the answers as to how to draw people into the church. I certainly have sometimes no clue how to do that. I suspect that the best way is not through entertainment, but through your relationships. People come because of your friendship, because you ask them, "Would you like to come with me to church?" Because of your friendship, they will come, not because of me, not because they'll come and they'll be entertained by the service. They will come because of you, because of your friendship with them. And if they come cold turkey, so to speak, I didn't plan on saying that, but if they just show up and they don't know anybody, then it's up to you to make friends with them while they're here, to build a relationship with them, even as just at the beginning of it. But it's through the Word of God that they will believe. Why don't we invite our friends to worship? Are we afraid that they won't like it? That things are too dated for them? That's just another way in which we respond to an entertainment-driven attitude toward worship. Do you really believe that God knows what he's talking about when he says that people cannot believe unless they hear his word? God's word is sufficient and powerful. It does transform people, but they have to hear it. And obviously, this isn't the only place they can hear it. They need to hear it from you, too. There has always been opposition to the proclamation of God's word. But the lesson of history is the unique power of the Bible to regenerate lost sinners, to transform their lives and build churches. The word of God is sufficient for the salvation of the lost. Secondly, the Word of God is also sufficient for sanctification. Now, sanctification is just a big word that means to grow in holiness, become more and more like Jesus in our character and in our behavior, to grow more and more in our ability to die to sin and live to righteousness. It's a growth. So how do you grow in holiness? The Word of God is sufficient. It's sufficient to enable you to grow. You must receive then the word of God. And we can see this very clearly in 1 Thessalonians 4. In verse 1, Paul said to them, "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God," that's sanctification, "just as you are doing, that you do so more and more." There's growth. "For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification." And he goes on to give a great illustration of it. The point that Paul's making is that it's God's will that we grow in holiness, that we become more and more like his Son. And to enable us to grow, God has given us what we need: his word, the scriptures. For the Thessalonians, it came through the Apostle Paul. For us, his instructions for our growth are in his revealed word. The late Dr. James Boyce described our sanctification like this. He said, "We cannot go back to being what we were before. We are new creatures in Christ. And if we are new creatures in Christ, the only thing we can do is get on with living the Christian life. In other words, there's no way for us to go but forward." I hope you caught that. For the Christian, there is no direction for us to go than forward. We will grow. Now, we all understand the growth process very well, right? Sometimes there's seasons of fast growth, and sadly, there are times of slow growth, but there's always growth. There's no sin that cannot be overcome. God causes the growth through his word. Now, Dr. Boyce continued with three questions as an illustration. First, he said, "Can an adult become a child again?" Clearly the answer is no. No one can reverse the aging process. Second, can an adult act childish? He said, "We know the answer to that because we see it often. Of course, adults can often act like children." But now there's a third critical question. What do you say to an adult who is acting childish? And he said, "Women know the answer to that question because they say it to men all the time. They say, 'For heaven's sake, just grow up.'" Well, that is exactly what Paul is saying to believers. You are Christians now, if you really are. You cannot go back to being what you were before. You cannot become unsaved. So for heaven's sake, grow up and start acting like Christians. That's the process that God has us in. This growth as believers, growth in holiness, growth in sanctification. Sadly, many Christians continue to be immature because they have not received instruction from God's word. There are also many churches because pastors are not attempting to teach sound doctrine. And so they give in to all kinds of waves of doctrine, shiny and bright. But they simply are continuing to teach what itching ears need or want. Sadly, many times we are more committed to seeking what we want instead of what we need. And churches are certainly guilty of being more concerned about giving people what they want instead of what they truly need. The Word of God is sufficient for our salvation, for the salvation of anyone that is lost, and then for our sanctification, our growth in Christ-likeness as well. And then thirdly, the Word of God is sufficient for guidance. How do you seek God's guidance? Do you try to listen to a little voice? I've heard people say things like that. "I prayed about it and God told me to do such and such." That's almost a form of mysticism. A strong believer would ask, "Show me the chapter and verse." In other words, where do you find that leading in God's word? The Bible is sufficient for everything in life. God has given us all the guidance we need in his holy word. So if there's something that we want or think we need that's not covered in the Bible, what job should we take? What college should I attend? And, you know, et cetera, all kinds of life decisions. After you've prayed for God's providential guidance, we're free to do what we think is best. to follow godly wisdom and make a decision. In areas about which the Bible does not speak explicitly, we are free to rely on godly wisdom and act. This leads to a common question that many students ask. I remember asking this as a college student. How do you know God's will? How do you know that you're being led by God or being led by outside influences? In fact, when I was a senior in college, I was talking to one of my favorite professors. He happened to be my guidance advisor. And I had two opportunities. Both looked really good. I could honor God either direction I went. I asked him, how do I know what God's will is? And he just kind of laughed at me and he said, look, if either decision will bring honor to God, quit stressing over it. Just make a decision and go. That's all I needed to hear. He was right. There are so many decisions that we face in life that two options and both can honor God. Both can enable us to grow in holiness. Don't stress yourself over it. Just go. And he'll shut the door if he wants to go the other way. Some of you may feel like Joseph did. Again, let's go back to Matthew 1. And Joseph faced a terrible situation. And some of you may feel the same way about your own circumstances. Maybe, I'm sure, not as extreme as that. But you may be facing some circumstances that are extremely difficult. In his case, his fiancée showed up pregnant. And as you know, he intended to save her from public disgrace and divorce her quietly, which would have been the honorable thing to do. But then the word of God was spoken. There was an old bumper sticker that once said, I haven't seen it for years, but it once said, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Ultimately, it would have been better if it just said, God says it, that settles it. It really doesn't matter if I believe it or not. If God says it, it's settled. It reminded me of an even worse one. I remember talking to my dad about it one time. I saw it. I thought, this is so cool. It said, God votes yes, Satan votes no, you make the decision. And my dad said, no. They don't have equal votes. If God saves, and it doesn't even matter your decisions, God saves. He settles it. His word is sufficient. Do we rely on it? It's sufficient for anything that's happening in your life today. I challenge you to simply open your Bibles up this week a little more frequently. Commit yourself to studying it daily. I challenged you last week to take the simple little phrase, in Christ, and I hope some of you have done that. If not, do it this week. In Christ. Just get your phone out, your little Bible app, and type in those two words and do a study throughout the week. And I'm confident that you will be encouraged, that you will find the support and direction that you need as you face the trials of this life. We are united to Christ. Through the holy word of God, he has revealed our relationship with him. He made us his children. He will keep you as his child. You are bound to Jesus Christ, and nothing can separate you from his love. Rely on his word and live by it. It's sufficient. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to live in a culture where we are free to worship you, where I am free to read your word publicly and call people to believe it. Lord, we pray for those friends and family and missionaries that are in countries where such freedom is not as free, where the opposition is very real. Lord, we pray that you would enable them to be bold, that they also would demonstrate a full confidence in the sufficiency of your word. Lord, as this season continues, I pray that our lives would reflect a complete trust in you, that your word is sufficient for all things. That every decision that we make in life can be guided by your word. And Lord, we pray that you would draw people to yourself as we live out your word and make it known. And we pray this in your Savior's, in your Son's name. Amen. Our closing hymn is